dive in. So, Father, we just want to thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to be able together, Father, to be able to look at the truth of your word. Father, in this time, I just pray that, Father, that you'd move me out of the way. Father, I believe that you've spoken some things to me and showed me some things, and I pray that I'm able to communicate those clearly and with passion, with love and with grace. And Father, I just pray for hearts and minds to be able to receive the truth of your word, that you prepare hearts and minds and ears to receive and to take up and to run with your word. Father, be with us in this time. Speak loud. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just want to kind of set the tone just a little bit. Originally, I was thinking this would be real fun, a real fun sermon, and there still might be a joke or two in there. But this morning, as I was sitting and kind of just praying through and reading through notes, I started realizing there's a lot of kind of heavier truth that I'm going to share today. And so I just wanted to kind of start off and let you kind of know the heartbeat of where I'm at. Earlier this week, Brandon asked me a few weeks ago to come and preach today. And earlier this week, he asked me if I was ready. You know, you getting ready? And I told him, I said, well, not exactly. I've got a lot of different thoughts and a lot of different things that I kind of wouldn't mind sharing. And I feel really kind of conflicted about what to share. Because all these things that I want to share are really good truths. And I'm passionate about each one of these things. But I just don't know which one to share. And I said, I think I might need to call your dad and just ask your dad for a word. And then maybe he would just speak this word. And then it would be clear to me what I'm supposed to speak about. And I said, but I'm going to go home. I'm just going to keep praying about it. And I got up on Tuesday morning. And as I was sitting there kind of praying, kind of early in the morning praying, I felt like God kind of whispered to me. And he said, if this was the last thing that you were ever going to preach, what would you share?
Whoa, wow.
And I said, oh, and immediately for me, I was like, that's easy. That's easy, Lord, because I've got all these truths that are heavy that I'm passionate about. But this one thing here, if I share this, and this was the last thing that my kids got to hear me share, you could show them all these other things. And so, like, for me, that's kind of where I'm at today, is that it's a little bit heavier thing, and kind of the passion and the heartbeat behind what I want to share today is, if this was the last thing that you ever heard me speak or that my kids ever heard me speak, this is what I'd want to tell you. Because from this, you can get everything else. I read a book a long while back. You're going to hear me say that phrase probably a couple times today because I've read a lot of books and I haven't got to preach a lot. And so you're going to hear me say, I read a book a while back. And it was a while back, but I read a book a while back by a guy named Donald Miller. And the book is called Father Fiction. I picked up the book because I grew up kind of without a dad. And I wanted to kind of read what he had to say about not having a dad when you grew up. One part of the book, he starts talking about one day he's on an airplane. He's flying to Chicago. And back in the day, a long time ago, you used to get on the airplane and you'd plug in the headset into your armrest. And there would be channels on the armrest. And you'd go up or down. And like channel one was the TV that was up on the wall that was every, you know, 10 feet or something like that. Channel two or three, if you were flipping through the channels, you would get to hear what the pilots were talking about, okay? And Donald Miller's talking about, it was a while back, he was on an airplane, and he travels a lot speaking, and so he didn't want to watch the show, so he decides that he's going to flip through, and he lands on the channel that has to do with the pilots talking back and forth with each other. And as he's in the air, kind of dozing off, kind of not, he starts to hear over the headset that there's a plane that's about to land in Chicago. And the plane that's about to land in Chicago is calling back to this plane that had just taken off and starts telling this plane that's just taken off, hey, when you get to this heading, this place, you need to be at this altitude to be able to help avoid some turbulence. And as he's talking about the fact that there's a plane that already went through everything. It's already flown to Chicago. And it's fixing to land in Chicago. And this plane is calling back to these pilots that are just taking off and telling them, hey, if you'll get to this altitude, if you'll take this heading, if you'll go slightly out of the way, you can miss some turbulence. And as I'm sitting here reading this and thinking about it, this truth, and it's a truth that I just haven't been able to get away from, I sit there and think about how in my life there's people that have gone before me that have lived out life that want to tell me back and say, hey, you should do this. And I can choose to take that up or I can choose not to take it up. And I sit there and think about me as a dad. I see my kids, and they start to make choices. And if you're a parent, you can say amen to this. Yeah, amen. I see my kids start to make a choice, and I sit there and think, oh, that's not good. That's not the best choice. And as a parent, I want to tell my kids, hey, don't do that. It's not going to go well if you do that, because I've lived life. I've made bad choices. I've had experience. And so I want to tell my kids, oh man, don't make that choice. If you make that choice, you're going to experience turbulence. You're setting yourself up to you're going to go through the part and just get shaken to death. Because you're choosing not to listen to the wisdom of somebody who's lived it before. In the same way, we have people in our lives that want to call back to us, whether it's pastors that are sitting here saying, this is what it looks like, this is what's good, mentors, friends, people in our lives, elders in the church that they're able to mentor and pour in, and they want to give wisdom. But I want to tell you even more than that, God is wanting to call back to us. And God would say, not only have I an idea of that which you're about to walk through, he would say, I've designed it and I've created it. I've created you. I know what you're fixing to walk through. And God would call back with wisdom and say, hey, look, this course that you're on, this place that you're fixing to be, whether you're just taking off or you're already midway through the flight or you're at the very tail end and they're fixing to make the descent back into Chicago. It doesn't matter where you're at. God would say to you, I want to call back with wisdom to you, so that you can live out this life with the least amount of turbulence. You could have the best flight with the most rest, the least amount of turbulence. But we have to decide if we want to take that up or not.
That's good.
And so today, as we kind of walk through, we're going to walk through just a few verses in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. We're just going to look at verses 1 through 6. I just want to kind of walk through, and I just want to kind of, I kind of want you guys, and I want you to really just think about what does it look for God. I believe in these verses, I believe God's calling back to us. And he's saying, if you want to live out this life with the least amount of turbulence, with the smoothest flight, if you want to be able to take a nap on the plane and get to enjoy the flight, he's calling back with wisdom and saying, if you would just do this, then that would get you there. But church, we got to understand that we've got to make that decision. Are we going to take that up or are we not? Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read that real quick. It says, my son, I'm reading from the NASB. It says, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, For if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Want to start real quick and say, do you remember when you were in third grade and your third grade teacher said, there's this thing called if-then statements. Conditional statements is what they would call them. And say, if you brush your teeth, then they won't be yellow. If you don't do your homework, then you will get a bad grade. Yeah. Everybody's tracking with me? If you do this, then this will be the result, right? Yes. And here right now in these verses of scripture, we have if-then statements. If you do this, then this will happen. But I want you to understand one thing. Don't miss this. This is probably perhaps the most critical part of each one of these phrases and verses we're going to look at. Don't miss this. This is key into this. Church, it says you. You have to do these things. Not hear these things. Not read these things. You have to do these things. You. Not me. I'm going to do it for me, but I can't do it for you. Pastor Hall can't do it for you. The person sitting next to you, your spouse, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your grandma, whatever, they can't do it for you. You have to do it for you.
Come on. That's a good word. Good word.
And so, we're going to look at what you must do. The verses begin, if you will receive my words. Who has to receive, church?
You.
There's going to be several interactive points today in the message. And when I say, church, who needs to do this? You, in unison, you will say?
You.
Okay. Church, who must do this?
You.
They're okay. We are cooking with bacon grease today. If you will receive my words, to receive, I just want you to think about, to receive means to take, to accept, to receive. I want you to think about a football player that's on the line. The football player's on the line. The quarterback says, hut. What happens to the wide receiver? He's out on the line. When he gets ready to go, he has a defender that's up against him that wants to try and stop him from catching the ball. And so he's got to do what he has to do to be able to get free, to be able to receive the word. But I'm going to tell you, the pass is coming, okay, because we read in Scripture, it says, if you will receive. The pass is coming. Like, this is the part right here where a lot of people, you're able to pick up something, you might catch it, you might not, but the pass is coming. If you will receive my word, he says.
Yeah.
Like a football player coming off the line. If you will receive my word. I want to tell you one more thing about receiving. Is that not everything you receive will be used immediately. Sometimes we receive, we take it, we catch it, we run with it, we carry it, we hold it. At the right time, we will use that which we receive. If you will receive my word. What word is he talking about? If you continue, the next part of the verse says, and treasure my commandments within you. Implied, if you will receive my word and if you will treasure my commandments. He's talking about, simply put, the Ten Commandments. We're not under the law in the New Testament, but the law shows what God's heart is, that we worship, that he's primary in our lives, that his worship is second, and our interaction with mankind is third. And so as we look at this, he's saying that if you would treasure my commands, if you would take and treasure, what does it mean to treasure? if I treasure something, am I going to be like, oh, let me hide this from everybody? I mean, maybe if you're like some kind of greedy person, but if you have something that's important to you, something that means a lot, you're going to show that to people. You're going to share that. So he says, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments, means if you're going to take what I'm telling you, take what I'm about, and you're going to go live that out and go show that. He says, if you do these things, but that's not all he's saying. He keeps going. And I want you to understand, that in each one of these things, God is calling back. In each one of these things, don't miss this, church. In each one of these things, God's calling back to you and saying, hey, look, I created you. Amen. I've designed you with purpose. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The only way that you're able to take and live out the fullness of that purpose is if you take up my word. And if you receive my word, and if you'll treasure my commandments. And I don't want to oversimplify this, but you're going to hear me say this a few times. I don't want to oversimplify this, but this means looking at his word and spending time in his word and reading his word and making that a priority. Yes. If we don't spend time there, then we're not going to know that.
Right.
He goes on and he continues and he says, if you'll make your ear attentive to wisdom. Whose ear, church?
Your
ear. Let's go again. Whose ear, church?
Yours.
Okay. Your ear. If you make your ear attentive to wisdom, what does that mean? What does that look like? I sit there and I thought about it. It reminds me like an old person. What? What did you say? Huh? Let me turn up my hearing aid. Huh? I'm gonna, what you're saying, it means something to me. There's a lot of noise in the world. There's a lot of noise going on. But what you're saying, what? Huh? Because I want to hear what it is that which you are saying to me, I want to hear that. If you make your ear attentive to wisdom, if you do this, because I want to tell you again, God's calling back and he's saying, I'm telling you how to live this life, how to take this flight to Chicago. I'm telling you how to do it. And I'm telling you how to avoid the least amount of turbulence and have the best, most relaxing flight you could have. There's still going to be some turbulence. It ain't getting rid of all the turbulence. Okay. But he's telling you, I'm telling you, this is the best flight. And I'm telling you this, you can't get a better flight than this. This is first class. If, church, you make your ear attentive to wisdom, and he goes on and he says, if you incline your heart to understanding, if you incline your heart to understanding, and I'm going to tell you, church, this is the part where this starts to get a little heavier, because this is the part where people think, in church, I'm doing a really good job at making my heart inclined to understanding. My heart's there. I want you to think about that this word inclined means to lean favorably towards. That's what it kind of means. This kind of means leaning favorably toward the understanding of the Lord.
Yeah.
I want you to think about the Leaning Tower of Pisa. We've all seen pictures of it. Okay, it's the one in Italy where the building is to the side, okay? And it's leaning, one direction, right?
Right.
And it can't simultaneously be what? Leaning the other direction. We read in the verse, it says, incline your heart to understanding. It means to lean your heart favorably towards the Lord. So if I'm leaning my heart towards favorably towards the Lord and towards his understanding, I'm going to get this, church. You can't simultaneously be leaning towards the things of the world. You can't be here and here at the same time. Your heart has to be one or the other. I I read a quote that says, whoops. I don't want to mess up. Brandon said I'll get yelled at by the sound team. Sorry. Please don't yell. I read a quote, and this quote says, it's impossible for any Christian who spends the bulk of his evenings, day in and day out, week upon week, month after month, watching TV and movies, and engulfed in social media, to have a Christian mind. And I'm telling you, that's a quote I read. That's not me just telling you. But I'm telling you, that's a quote that's wrecked me. I've written it in my Bible. Every time I read a verse, I'm like, oh, the input determines output is what I write in my Bible. And then I've written this quote in there several times because I think it's true. You can't invest your life day in and day out in everything else and think that you're going to wake up in the morning closer to Jesus.
Come on, amen.
You can't. You can't lean towards the world and simultaneously think that you're chasing the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to pick, well, what am I going to lean towards here? Because again, I told you, the Lord, he's already on the ground in Chicago. He's calling back and saying, I created you. If you just would take up what I've said, it could be so much better.
Oh, my. Amen. Yeah. Wow. Come on. Amen.
But we have to decide, and we have to be honest with ourselves. Are we inclining our hearts toward understanding, or are we inclining our hearts towards the world? I wrote down, what are the affections of your heart wrapped up in? What are the affections of your heart wrapped up in? I share a lot of stuff with Brandon. Me and Brandon, we've been friends a long time, like you said. It's hard to believe it's been 18 years. But we share a lot of stuff with each other. Confess sin to one another, confess struggle to one another. And here, like the last few weeks, like with like tears in my eyes, I mean, I've had to share with him, like, I'm wrestling with choices, with decisions, with all I want to do is run after the Lord. That's all I want in my life. I want to run after the Lord. And when I die and I get to the end of my life, that's what I want to be known for. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was telling Brandon the other day, I'm going to get yelled at again. I was telling Brandon the other day, about, I had read about Charles Spurgeon. He's a guy, he was born in 1805, I think, or 1802. He was a preacher in England, and he preached incredible sermons. And people said about Charles Spurgeon that if you pricked his skin, if you pricked his finger, that he would bleed bibline, that he would bleed the Bible, because that's how much time he spent time, prayer, reading the Word. That's what he was about. That's all he was about. And I say for me, that's what I want. That's what I want for me. I got a long way to go, but that's a goal. Is I want to be that kind of guy that's chasing after the Lord like that. But I have to continually think about, what is my heart inclined toward? Because he's calling back. The verses continue and say, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift your voice for understanding. Who has to do this, church?
Yeah.
We're getting there. Just remember, the slower you are to answer, the longer the sermon gets. I was told I had to be obedient, and that meant 30 minutes or less. But we're going to go over. If you cry out, if you lift your voice, I want you to understand. Oh, man. I know. I want you to understand that this part right here, if you cry out, if you lift your voice, I want you to understand it takes, this is effort. This is effort that's required. He's going to throw passes that you're going to receive. You will if you'll receive, he's throwing them. Boom. You got things coming right here. Pastor Hall, Brandon sitting up here preaching on the weekend. You're getting it. You're getting some passes, but he says that there's more to it. There's part where it's effort is required from you. If you want to go deeper, if you want to go to the next level, which, hello, there you can go deeper. You have to do your part. There's effort that's required from you, because as you get deeper, it makes me think about the people that the lost and dying world think are crazy. The people the lost and dying world think are crazy and fanatical about Jesus, and maybe even some people in the church think are a little bit crazy because they've gotten a little bit deeper. They've spent time crying out. They've spent time lifting their voice. Oh, it's not just coming in here and saying, Jesus, would you please? And thank you, amen. No, 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 no. They've spent time lifting their voice and crying out. Me and Brandon, we joke about Baptist, be Baptist and Pentecostal, and we got some jokes. And it's, you know, it's fun. But at the end of the day, we're about Jesus. But as we joke about me being a little more towards the Baptist slant, I share all that because I read a quote by a guy named John Piper who has that kind of same slant, okay? But I don't want to just say a quote and not give credit if I'm able to give credit, okay? And then, if you get mad, you're not getting mad at me, you're getting mad at John Piper, okay? Okay? But John Piper has a quote that I also haven't been able to shake. And it says, one of the great uses of Facebook will be that in the last days to show that prayerlessness wasn't due to lack of time. Wow. I mean, you don't have to be following John Piper to be like, ouch. And that's truth. And you can insert Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and Facebook and Snapchat and this and that and the sewing club. Yeah. Whatever it is that you're spending your time on that's not about the Lord. It's not that you can't have a hobby, but let's be honest. Those things like suck our life away. YouTube, okay?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say it again. John Piper said that one of the great uses of Facebook will be that in the last days, to prove that prayerlessness wasn't due to lack of time. I've written that down. I've got that. I think about that regularly, but this morning as I thought about it, it made me weep. I don't even have Facebook, but I have Netflix and all these other things that take up my time. But it made me weep this morning. Because I don't want to stand in front of him and be like, you never went deeper. You were supposed to cry out. You were supposed to lift up your voice.
Yeah.
And I have to tell him, but you know, Netflix, yeah.
Come on. Come on.
I don't want that coming out of my mouth.
Come on.
Or I don't need him saying, well, what were you doing? Nothing. Nothing? And he says, there's you watching Netflix. There's you watching Hulu. There's you watching Amazon Prime.
Come on, preach. Amen. Amen. Oh, preach.
I mean, at least two of y'all are right there with me.
Oh, you got us, man. You got us.
He's calling back to us, guys.
Amen.
Church, he's calling back to us.
Amen.
And he's saying, I created you. I designed you.
Yes.
I know the plans I have for you.
Yes.
I have things that I created you to do before
yes.
you were born.
Yes.
And the only way for you to really experience the whole of all that that is to take up my word and to pursue me, to take up, to receive my word, to pursue me, to search for me, to seek me, to cry out. He continues, so I will continue. He says in verse 4, if you seek for her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. Uses personification, her, for wisdom. As you read through Proverbs, her is wisdom. I believe that this is done to let you know and let me know and let us know that we can find wisdom if we search. Just like if I'm going and looking for Brandon Hall, believe you me, I will find Brandon Hall. Because he's a real person. If you go to look for Brandon Hall and you say, where will Brandon Hall be? And you go look for Brandon Hall you will find. And I believe that as we read in here, if you search for her just like you would search for treasure, you will find. And can I tell you that it makes me think about the movie National Treasure, and makes me think about Indiana Jones, makes me think about Pirates of the Caribbean, because all those have to do with searching and seeking for treasure. But I want to tell you one thing, that in this search, there is no pirate map. I mean, thank you, Jesus. We don't have to go find a pirate ship. You don't have to go find a map and put on special goggles, and only on the winter solstice at 2 p.m. can you then decipher the map. You don't have to take your arm and stick it in some crevice that has spiders and scorpions up in it to be able to seek and find wisdom. I mean, is this not good news? This is very, very, we should be excited about this. Because the only thing we have to do, this might blow you away. The only thing we have to do is spend time with him.
Come on.
Spend time reading his word. Spend time in prayer. And if we seek him, guess what, church? There we go. There we go. We're getting there. That's four people. We're there. You're getting close. Because he's calling back to us, guys. Church, he's calling back to us.
Yes, he is.
Maybe you're hearing him right, and you say, "Oh yeah, I'm hearing it more and more. I'm hearing you call out, Lord." If you'll do this, if you'll do this, because this takes effort.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, you got to decide, church, at some level or not, you got to decide, am I going to give of myself and put in the effort, or am I not?
There we go.
I read a book a while back. About a guy named George Mueller.
Oh my, yeah.
George Mueller was a guy who was born in 1805 in England. Grew up not knowing who the Lord was. Loved to drink a lot. I think he went to a Bible college. I'm not positive on that. That could be off, but I know he went to college. Halfway through college, he goes to a Bible study with a friend. Goes to this Bible study, Lord radically gets a hold of his heart. And he starts saying, you know what? I'm turning away from all this drinking and chasing women and all these things that he was doing. And he says, I'm going to start pursuing the Lord. As he's pursuing the Lord, Lord starts putting it on his heart to start a mission, a orphanage. And in England at this time, there was maybe two or three orphanages in all of England. This was like, it isn't like you got an orphanage like there is now. Back then, if you were an orphan, you'd pretty much cast out and they didn't care. So the Lord starts putting it on his heart to start an orphanage. And so the Lord tells him that he wants him to go start this orphanage, never asking anybody for a single penny. Wants him to pray about it. Wants people just to give, and this is what he believes. And so, I mean, you read through his biography and all these things are happening. All of a sudden, he's got money, and he goes to this house on this street. He rents a house that's for like 7-8 people, and he starts his first orphanage for 30 girls. This is him and his wife. And before long, kind of give you the version, okay? Before long, he's got 4 houses on the same street, each with 30 orphans in it. But everybody on the street starts complaining about the sewage problems at this time in England. The houses are made for 7-8 people, and he's got 30 in each house, and there's other people living around. So he starts praying, and the Lord starts telling him to go out into the country and find some land and build a big orphanage for 400 people. And so he starts praying, and the Lord opens doors, and he ends up building an orphanage that holds 400 people. And then he builds 3 more buildings that hold 400 people. And when you read his biography, he sits there and you're reading it, and at more than one point, everybody in these orphanages sitting around the tables with no food. And he sits there and says, all right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the food you're about to provide. And then there's a knock at the door. And a milk truck broke down. And the baker comes over and he says, I couldn't sleep last night. Well, Lord woke me up, told me I need to make bread for y'all and bring y'all bread. I'm talking about it. So you read this, you will weep to the glory of God. It's some good stuff. Toward the end of his life, as he's doing these orphanages, people all over England are hearing about about God moving, about what God's doing. He gets towards the end of his life, he's getting to be where he feels like God's kind of moving him away from doing the orphanages. At this time his kids kind of take over. He starts traveling around the world. There's people that have heard so much about him doing all this stuff. He comes to the United States, and he spends like 3 or 5 years or something. He preaches hundreds of sermons, hundreds. He meets the President of the United States, Rutherford B. Hayes. In England, he meets Charles Dickens, the author of Christmas Carol. He meets Charles Spurgeon. He's doing all these things. It's incredible. And why do I tell you all this? Because when you read this biography and you get toward the very, very end, and I'm telling you as a passing thought for the guy reading the book, or writing the book, a passing thought. In the course of his life, George Mueller read the Bible over 300 times. And some people say, I Google that. And so it's, and some people say, oh, maybe that's a little bit of exaggeration. Maybe it was only 200 times. But from the time that he gave his life to the Lord to the time he died, I'm going to tell you that's 3 to 5 times a year he was reading the Bible. What I'm trying to communicate is that it's not by chance that George Mueller was able to live this exceptional life of faith and do these exceptional things and have the faith that he had in the Lord by chance. He didn't just wake up and say, oh, you know what? I think God's calling me to do this today. I think I'm going to do it. He spent time in the Word with the Lord. And because he did that, God was able to do incredible things that almost 200 years later, I'm up here being able to testify and be able to share, this is what happened with this guy who was obedient, who said, it's more important for me to spend time in the Word and with the Lord than it is for me to go do my own thing. I mean, how many of us in here would say, I really want God to do something incredible in my life? I mean, how many of us would say that? I really want God to do something incredible in my life. I want Him to go use me, show me, blow me away with the things that He wants to do in my life. How many of us would say that? I mean, most of us would say, that probably would probably be pretty good. And all we got to do is spend the time. If you spend time, then. If you spend time, then. Who has to spend time? You. If you spend time, the scripture says, and we'll kind of start working towards the end, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth, come knowledge and understanding. I want you to understand that all of these ifs, they all lead us toward a closer relationship with the Lord. If you'll do all these things, you'll be closer to the Lord. And He says it will discern the fear of the Lord. We'll discern the fear of the Lord. I'm just going to read this. I wrote down the back of my Bible. I've got notes back here. It says, to fear the Lord is to regard God with reverent awe. He alone is holy, awesome, and glorious. And I got a verse for every one of these, but I'm not going to read every single thing. He is worthy of our respect. Because God is righteous, holy, and truly the only thing awesome, we should be concerned about the consequences of displeasing Him and not following His commands and instruction for us. The fear of the Lord is not one which leaves us cowering and terrified, but rather is like the respect the son should have towards his father. Amen. The fear of the Lord leads us to wise and pure living. Yes. By the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. To fear God is to submit to Him, turning from self-assertion and evil to the life that we think is best, from the life that we think is best and that we want. It's acknowledging that the Lord is the sovereign creator of the universe and that He determines the steps of man. It is being open to His training and correction and trusting that His way is always the best way. The fear of the Lord is to know God. To know God is to have life, and the best life has for us. When you fear God, you no longer fear man. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, in the same way that a foundation is the beginning of a house. Everything that comes after is built upon it. I have no idea where I came up with all of that from. Like I said, there's verses for all of those things. But I wrote in Proverbs some time ago when I studied and was reading in Proverbs, I wrote down, see page 4 of my notes in the back. And so this morning I flipped over to page 4 and I thought, that's way better than what I wrote down to share. So I'm going to read that. Made me sound a little bit better. We're done with that page now. To fear the Lord is to put Him in His proper place. Yes. To realize all that He is and the respect that's due Him. And that He's the one who created us and is calling back to us. Who wants the best for us. And it says, as we do that, that we discover the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. The best life. The best life, church. We just have to decide if we want to take it up or not. He's always calling back to us. It doesn't matter if you're a young student. Doesn't matter if you're middle age. It don't matter if you're facing the land of Chicago and the stewardess is saying, "This attention, the seatbelt sign has been fastened. The captain is saying, please be seated and stow your laptops." Place your seats back in the upright position. Until you hit the ground, I'm going to tell you. Until you land in Chicago. Come on, which is heaven. Until you land there, he's always calling back. He's always calling back. Maybe you're here and you're like me. You haven't always done the best at all the ifs. You haven't done the best at receiving his word, at chasing after him, at each one of the things. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. If you incline your heart to understanding, cry out for discernment. Lift your voice for understanding, seeking for wisdom as we seek for silver or gold, for treasure. Maybe you haven't always done the best at that. And maybe right now you say, yeah, I might have a couple things in my life I need to maybe repent and turn away from. Because if you're anything like me, if he's calling back, I want to hear that. And so as we get ready to close, have Garen come back up here. Did I say that right? Galen, sorry. At least I paused to ask. That's another person who's going to hate me when this is over. But maybe you're in here and you would say, yeah, I might not have always done the best, but I'm here right now and I want you to understand, I want you to hear that God has grace and mercy for us today right where we're at. He gives us grace and mercy. And he allows us to get to hear a message like this today. So that later today and tomorrow and this week when we wake up, we can make different choices and different decisions. And we can decide, are we going to take up what he's calling back to us or not? He's letting us, he's get grace and mercy today. Let us take different steps later today. And so maybe you're like me where you'd say, yeah, whew. Maybe I do have some things that I, like really, that's just... This, who has to do this, church? Who has to do this? Yeah, I hear somebody saying me. That's right. You know, 100%. I about give up on this. Who has to do this, church? Say me. Who has to do this? Awesome that God gives us the grace and mercy to be able to confess and profess and talk with him about it. You can talk with him at your seat. We'll have a minute up here where I'm not sure how they'll close the service out, but a minute to be able to sit and pray and think. Or maybe the prayer team, Brandon was saying, if you want to have some prayer, maybe Brandon will help us lead it in that some. But to be able to pray and say, hey, you know, Lord, I'm serious about speaking this out. I'm serious about trying to make a change. I'm serious about wanting to take it up, that which you're calling back to me. I want to receive your word. I want to make my ear attentive to wisdom. I want to search for you as I'd search for silver or gold. I want to cry out. I want to lift my voice. Maybe you're in here and I just want to say this. Maybe you're in here and you don't hear much of anything because you've never really trusted in the Lord. The only thing that you're hearing right now is this, as the scripture goes out, the Spirit takes the word and stirs people's hearts, stirs man's heart. John the Baptist preached in the wilderness, and all of Judea and Jerusalem went out to go hear what he had to say, even though he was dressed in camel hair, eating locusts and wild honey. Because when the gospel goes out, it stirs as the word goes out, it stirs hearts. And maybe today the only thing that you hear is follow me. Because maybe you've never made that decision. Maybe you've never taken the first step of God calling back and trusting who Jesus is. Because that's the first step. First step is having a relationship with Jesus. And if that's you, I just want to just share with you. I want you to know that God created you for a plan and a purpose. He wants to do things in your life that'll blow your mind. They're better than anything you could ever dare to hope, ask, or think. The problem is that we all have sin in our life. Like when you were little and you told your first lie, the Bible says that's sin and it separates us from God for forever. The Bible teaches God's holy and He can't be around sin. And so right there, it sounds kind of bad. God created you for a purpose, but because you have sin, like when you were four and told your first lie, just like I did, took a cookie. And there's nothing that we can do about it on our own. It gets even worse because if you decided to be perfect from today forward, it doesn't get rid of the sin that you already have in your life. But that's actually where the good news comes in. God knew that He creates you for a purpose. He knew that you were going to have sin. He knew you wouldn't be able to take it away on your own. And so He sends His Son Jesus to the cross. He comes to the earth. He lives a sinless life. He dies on the cross. And as He dies, He takes the sin of every man, woman, child that's ever been born for the rest of time until He returns. So that if you believe in Him, the scriptures say, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. So if you're in here and all you're hearing is follow me, I just want to tell you that following Him looks as simple as believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is who He says He is, the Savior of the world. That He's here to take away your sin so that you can walk with Him forever and eternity. If that's a decision you need to make, I also want to just encourage you to be able to come up and be able to talk to Pastor. He says he would love to come and talk with you about that. He would jump up and down, probably with a bad knee perhaps, and say, please, would you please come talk to me? Amen. I'm going to close this out in prayer, and I'm going to turn it over to Brandon. Father, I just thank You for today. I thank You for the truth of Your Word. I thank You, God, that You are always calling back to us, always calling back to us. Doesn't matter where we're at, doesn't matter how far we are away from You, it doesn't matter the choices we made yesterday, a week ago, a month ago, it doesn't matter where we're at in life, Father, You are still calling back to us. And as You call back to us, You're saying, I've got the best life for you. If you just seek Me, if you would just incline your heart for understanding. If you just make your attentive. I've got something I just need to share with you. Father, I thank You for that. I thank You that you never fail. You never give up on us. You keep pursuing us. You keep chasing after us, Father, because You have things You want to do in our lives for Your glory and for Your kingdom, Father. And through doing that, we get to live the best life. I thank You for that. Father, just pray that in the hearts of the people in the church right now, Father, just like You've been stirring in my heart, Father, just want to pray that we would make choices and decisions where we're positioning ourselves to hear from You. Father, it's the desire of Your church to live out the life You've called us to, Father. So we just pray and we ask in Jesus' name, give us the strength, the ability, the encouragement, the prodding that we need so that we can seek You face. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.